Our first scripture comes from the book of Luke, chapter 10, verses 27 through 29. He responded, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your being, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." Jesus said to him, "You have answered correctly. Do this, and you will live." And our second reading is from the book of 3 John, chapter 1, verse 2. Dear friends, I'm praying that all is well with you, and that you enjoy good health in the same way that you prosper spiritually. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Send your blood, O Lord, like the rain, falling down upon the earth. Send your blood, O Lord, like the rain, falling down upon the earth.
So I've always had this big, audacious goal. This goal that I've always just kind of had in the back of my mind, something that I always wanted to reach. And that goal was to have six-pack abs, cut biceps, tattoo on my bicep, and be 24 years old without a care in the world. That is the goal that I've always wanted. Well, since I turn 32 tomorrow, I don't think that goal will ever be reached. And for me, that's sad to think about, you know, that I'll never kind of reach that goal, reach that dream. But what I can do is I can make changes, I can make choices in order to be a better version of myself each and every day. And so, isn't that what we all want? We each want to simply just be a little better version of ourselves today than we were yesterday. And so that's why for the next 3 weeks, we're going to go through a series called Fixer Upper. We don't want to challenge you with these big, audacious, unreachable goals. We simply want to take steps together as the body of Christ here at First Alabaster to be better versions of ourselves than we were yesterday, than we were last year. And so we're going to be talking about how to do that in our health, in our finances, and in our attitudes. So this past year, 2016, was one of the lowest. I found myself in one of the lowest points of my life, health-wise, that I've ever been. 2015, 2016. This time last year in January, I was still recovering from a major surgery. I still wasn't eating solid foods. Everyone was telling me that I looked great because of all the weight loss, but it really hurt my feelings when they told me that, because I knew it was simply because of my sickness, not because I had been trying to lose weight, and I knew I would gain it back. I couldn't do the normal routine things that I was accustomed to doing on my own, and I began to feel more and more depressed each and every day. I remember driving down the road, and this weight of like guilt and sadness and depression, it would just like wave over me, kind of like you open the oven and the heat just comes out against you. I would just feel this wave of just sadness. And I could literally feel that weight like hit the top of my head and my shoulders and my chest for no reason. It would be a great day and things would be going good, but just out of nowhere. While in the hospital after surgery, I had stopped breathing and they had to call in the rapid response team to bring me back. And so along with all the emotions that I was going through and things that I was dealing with, I began to ask God, why me? Where are you, God? Why can't you heal me? Why can't you take care of me? Why do I feel like this? I even began to question God's existence and His love and His care for me. I would say there was no aspect of my life that was healthy. I was struggling physically, emotionally, mentally, and spiritually. So I made the decision earlier this year, probably February, maybe March. I didn't want to live that way anymore. I didn't want to live questioning God. I didn't want to live unhealthy. I didn't want to be miserable in my life. And so I began to see a counselor. Every other week I would go and just sit and talk to this lady And it was awesome because I paid her money and she couldn't say a word. She just had to sit and listen to me talk. It was wonderful. I started seeing my doctor and I started eating healthy. The goal was no longer to be a 24-year-old with a beach body. This time the goal was simply to be a better version of myself. Right now, I honestly feel better than I have in a long time. I've lost 40 pounds this year on my own, without sickness. I'm taking the vitamins and the medications that I need. I still see a counselor about once a month now. Lila and I, we cook at least 3 home-cooked meals every week and sit and eat dinner together at least 3 times a week. I'm not where I want to be. I'm not. I still have a long way to go, but I've been taking the steps to get there, to be where I want to be. And isn't that what God wants from all of us? He doesn't require us to be perfect. He doesn't require us to be at the end goal. He simply asks us to take steps, to just be a little better version of ourselves each and every day. When he called the disciples to come and follow him, he went out to where they were fishing. And he didn't say, lose weight, go home and take a bath and shave and get your life together and follow me. Now, these disciples, they dropped their fishing nets. They smelled like rotten, stinky fish and sweat. They hadn't shaved that day. They probably hadn't bathed in a couple days except for in the water. They made mistakes. But Jesus said, come and follow me. And then they continued to make mistakes. We read time and time again where the disciples made mistakes. And as soon as they made a mistake, Jesus didn't say, you're off the team, you're out, you're not my follower anymore. Instead, he would pick them up. He would help them learn a lesson so that they could be a little better version of themselves the next day than they had been the day before. The hardest part of this whole thing, though, the hardest part of making these decisions to be healthier, making these decisions to be a better version of ourselves, is ourselves, right? We get in our own way. We hold ourselves to such a high standard. I hold myself to such a high standard that I don't think Jesus could meet the standards that I hold for myself. I hold myself to such this high place. And what Jesus taught us in our scripture this morning to be one of the most important commandments is to love our neighbors as ourselves, right? We hear that over and over and over again. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. And we focus a lot about the neighbor's part. We work with the Jesus Works Ministry on the highway, with Highway 11 and around Alabaster. Our church is partnered with an organization in the Philippines where we help malnourished children and underprivileged children with their schoolwork and stuff. We have a grace fund that helps people in this area with their grocery bills and medical bills and utility bills. We do a pretty decent job of helping our neighbor, of loving our neighbor. But that the piece of this commandment that we skim over, the hardest piece of this commandment sometime, is the ourselves part. It's the part about loving ourselves. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. Maybe like you look around the world. You see on TV, you watch the teenagers and all that, and you think, oh no, we've got that covered. We're really good at loving ourselves. You know, we make sure that we're taken care of, we make sure that we put we first. But I challenge that. I think that that's not the case. I think that we still don't love ourselves. I think that there's something missing, and people are looking for that. They're trying to fill that void in their lives by putting themselves first or by making sure they get what they want and don't take care of other people. But I don't think they love themselves. That's the difficult part. The culture we live in doesn't tell us that we can have anything we want because we're already happy, but instead it's because something is missing. And that something that's missing is self-esteem. It's self-acceptance. And this love for ourselves, it's not that selfish love. Instead, this do everything for yourself is based on the fact that we are created in the image of God. The love yourself is based on the fact that we are each created in the image of God. You and I, my friends, we are created in the image of God. And if we are created in the image of God, what's not to love? In Ephesians, we are told that we are God's masterpiece. So think about it this way. When an artist paints a piece of artwork or creates a sculpture, and they put it in an exhibit to be sold, who ascribes worth to that piece of art? The buyer or the seller? The seller. The seller is who puts the cost and the price on that piece of artwork. Only the artist, only the creator can ascribe worth to the masterpiece and to the artwork. The problem is, sometimes the people that come and visit the art show, they think badly about the piece of art. They don't see the full worth, and so they try to ascribe a lower price and a lower cost. And sometimes the artist is desperate, or sometimes the artist has lost self-esteem, and they'll allow the art to be sold for less than it's actually worth. But here's the thing. God is our artist. God has created us. He is our creator, and He is the only one that can ascribe worth to us. So why do we allow ourselves to settle for less than the worth God has given to us? God thinks we are worth so much that He was willing to give His one and only Son to pay the price for us. Isaiah chapter 53, verses 4 through 5 says it this way. Yet it was our weakness He carried. It was our sorrows that weighed Him down. And we thought His troubles were a punishment from God, a punishment for His own sin. But He was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was beaten so we could be whole, and He was whipped so we could be healed. God loves us so much that He took our punishment and He paid our price. But there's one part of that passage that I want us to look at. It says this, He was whipped so we could be healed. Some translations read, by His stripes we are healed. God cares about our healing. God cares about our health. So much so that He took the stripes and He took the whipping so that we could be healed. We get stuck on this thought that God is only concerned with our spiritual health though, right? We come to church and we come to Sunday school or small group. We read our devotion because God's concerned with our spiritual health. God is not only concerned about our spiritual health. He is concerned about our physical and emotional and behavioral and mental health as well. He created us. He is concerned about our whole being. However, unless we accept that healing, unless we learn to love ourselves, unless we say yes and start taking those steps, we'll never be able to walk in the health and the healing that God wants for us. Even while I was thinking about this sermon, I mentioned it to one of our teenagers. He's a junior in high school, what I had to preach about this morning, what we were going to preach about. And I asked him, what does a 300-pound man who just finished 2 Reese cups have to say about health? And he's so full of wisdom. He said, Andrew, it's not about where you've been. It's about where you're going. You've already lost 40 pounds. Keep making good choices, man. You've got this. And so I say to you today, it's not about where you've been. It's about where you're going. Keep making good choices. You've got this. And I'll add, keep making good choices. You've got this because God has already got you. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.